Hello and welcome to the Product Biz Podcast. I'm your host, Monica Little, and today I'm super excited to have Megan Blacksmith with us as our special guest. We're going to be talking about limiting beliefs of a business owner, what honesty truly is, habits, and how language is important for success. So these are some of the topics that I absolutely love as a business owner and as a coach. So Megan is here to chat with us and give us her knowledge on it. And before we bring her on, I just want to give a quick introduction on who she is and why she's here. So Megan is a speaker, NLP trainer, and mindset ninja. She's the co-founder of Zesty and the Becoming Zesty podcast. She trains coaches, practitioners, and leaders with the tools for faster inner transformation without fighting themselves along the way through functional NLP, a combination of the principles of NLP, functional medicine, and compassionate coaching. And if you don't know what NLP is, don't worry because we're going to dive into that today. So I'm super excited to have her. Megan, welcome to the show. So excited to have you here. And please just tell us a little bit more about you and what you do.
Thank you, Monica. So happy to be here. Well, it's always interesting as to where to start of the who I am and why I'm here. And I think, Monica, it started in the womb. I'm going to take you back to the womb. So I have in our trainings, we do a process that we call quantum time technique, where we actually float up above our timeline. We're floating up above all the memories and things that we have in the unconscious mind, and we're going back to events to get learnings. And I specifically ended up going back to the womb one day. This is crazy stuff. And if you think about it, everything that's happening, whether we have language yet or not, right? Whether we think babies and toddlers who can't speak are not absorbing, and they are absorbing everything. So even in the womb, like you can hear, your unconscious mind can pick up everything. So I went back to the womb where I was listening and hearing a conversation between my parents. This is crazy, I swear, this is crazy stuff. And they were not planning on having another child. So, although when I showed up, they loved the heck out of me, and my mom says, "No, you're the best thing that ever happened." At that moment, every day my mom would get up and they'd say to my dad, "I can't believe we're having another baby." There was a 10-year gap between my brothers and I, are 7 and 10 years older. So they thought they were in the clear. And I get that. I have an 8-year-old and a 13-year-old, so I can't quite imagine starting over. So here I am hearing this, like, I can't believe this person is coming. And I took that on. I took that belief on of like, I am not wanted here. So when I showed up, I was like, oh yeah, I'm here. I'm here to prove how awesome I am. I'm here to prove, like, I was here to prove. And that became a theme. And this became a theme for a lot of people that I work with. And so this energy of like, I will show you what I'm here for. I will show you how great I am, and continuously wanting to prove. This led one thing after another to becoming like the amazing student and the people pleaser, right? That peacekeeper, because I was going to keep everybody happy and they were all going to love me. I was going to prove to them, like, I should be here. You want me here. And the interesting thing, Monica, is of course, I attract clients and people in my life that are like me. So I end up working with a lot of type A, high achieving, like you get the grades, you follow the process, you use the spreadsheet, you learn the things, and that's supposed to all work out. And it did until it came to health. Because in the health category, we started in the functional medicine space helping women with hormones about 12 years ago. And in the health space, what would happen is that the people who were really, really good at the checklist and at following the rules, like the plan. What's the plan? Those people had the hardest time with their health because then they were really willing and able to do what anybody told them. Like they would say, you tell me what to do. Like, no, eating raisins standing on my head, if that's what I'm supposed to do, I will do it. And like we had people who were so compliant that they could actually do anything. Like just straight celery juice for 8 days, sure. They could do anything. And they would just completely override what their body was actually saying, what their intuition was actually saying, and essentially leading them into deeper health struggle. So this is the pattern. This is the pattern we saw in health. This is then the pattern. Now we work with a lot of coaches and practitioners and business owners and entrepreneurs. And that was the pattern we saw there too. It's like almost the better they were at school, it would get them to a certain level of success. Because it will drive you, and it will, for most people, get you to a certain level of success. And then it seemed to be stopping them and keeping them stuck right there, like right at a certain level, whatever their, the level can be different for everyone, right? But whatever that level was for them, it was stopping them. And working with people, it's almost like we're doing the opposite of like taking away the rules. Like, how can we pull back on the beliefs and all the things we have to do, which sounds freeing and awesome. Although when you've been working by the process and the standards, it's overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. So, all that to say, my life stories have led, a health crash led me to find functional medicine, and then I turned that into a career. And then in a relationship, really deep relationship struggle with my husband re led me to find the world of NLP and subconscious reprogramming. And then that led to us adding functional medicine in with this. And now we train coaches and practitioners in NLP, which we can get into what the heck that is.
Yeah, oh my gosh, what an incredible story. Just seeing number one, how you found that out. So I think that's super interesting too, how we have access to this other type of knowledge that we're not like aware of, but there are practices to figure that out. Because we all have the like triggers and the things that we do. And I've been really learning a lot about how some of it's like generational. It can be from your mom or from your grandma. Like there's things that's even passed in through from generation to generation in your DNA and from everything that happened. So hearing your story of how you found that out and then seeing how it ties into how you like perform on a day-to-day basis. And it's so interesting because I think myself working with small business owners who sell physical handmade products, I think if you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, or if you are chasing after your own dreams, part of that is always going to be there. Those are the people that have like that I need to prove or that type A, that perfectionist, because they're like the go-getters that get stuff done. But then it's asking what is actually fueling that? What's actually underneath the surface? So one thing I want to ask you, which you talked about in your story, because this is something I talk to my members a lot, the need to prove, because I know so many people, especially the people that I work with, they're like, oh, I want to prove it to my husband that I can do this. Or I want to prove it that I can contribute financially to the family. Or I want to prove it to my mom who always doubted me. Or I want to prove it to my friends who said that this wouldn't turn into anything, or who just judged me for my decisions of starting a small business. So tell me a little bit more about proving and why that's not, and I don't know how you want to say it, but it's not a great way to run your business. Like you said, it'll take you to a certain level, but then it stops you. So tell me more about like where this need to prove may stem from for other individuals. Hearing your story, that's one example, right? But where does this come from for other individuals, and why, how people can overcome it, or why it's an issue? Just tell me more about that need to prove with small business owners and entrepreneurs in general.
So what got you here won't get you there is the immediate quote that comes to my mind. So I think the first step, Monica, is really acknowledging, though, because a lot of people that we work with do have some kind of early childhood trauma, or they've been through a lot of struggles. And so those struggles usually make people, can make people, not usually, they can, for the people who end up with the businesses, can lead to resilience, can lead to tools where they've figured out how to communicate well because they needed to. It was a necessity. It was a survival necessity. Or they figured out people, they figured out body language, right? Like if you have a, your dad or your mom got really angry and was abusive, you figured out people really quickly. Like, so there's a lot of tools and things that can come from this, and that drives. I know a lot of people. I know someone who he said he built his business, and he built his business to a $10 million business. And he said, I did every single bit of this in spite of my father, like to prove
Wow.
him. To him. Yes. And so the here he was, though, at probably 45 or 50. And this was when I was in a place, I was actually at a neurofeedback center where to rewire the brain. And he was in a place of like, I built this, but I don't feel fulfilled. Like I have, you know, success without fulfillment, right? We don't actually want that. So it's not to say that it cannot drive you. And I think it's great to have that fuel, that away from motivation. So the going, you know, pushing away from what we don't want, or the proving is like, right, I will not have the poverty like my family, or I'm pushing away from they said I was too much, and I'm going to show them what this too much is all about. Like what this too much can do, right? So you're kind of pushing away from things you don't want. That's the proving versus our whole goal in the trainings that we do is getting people to turn and start to move towards what they do want, right? So what can this money provide? It can provide freedom and connection and excitement for my family, or a vacation, or I get, you know, whatever inspiration they have of like now. We can go towards it because we can, when we're always turning and looking in the rearview mirror of what we don't want anymore, at some point, you know, we're walking backwards, or we're driving, looking in the rearview mirror. So we start to miss things. So I think it's like we can look, say, okay, this drove me, that need to prove really drove me. Like, thank you. Thank that past version of me for that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Like the whole adding shame and guilt to things, we at our company in general at Zesty are like, we're not here for that. We're not here for that. Cool. If you're like, oh shoot, I'm realizing I'm completely driven by proving people wrong or prove right, then okay. Awesome. We learned a lot from that. And then now it's time to like turn and say, like, what would it look like if I was now going towards something I want? Because that is where the next level of growth usually comes from. The needing to prove that we see translate over to the business is that then it be can become so maybe it was needing to prove to someone in your life, right? A parent, a brother, a sister. And then it can become needing to prove to the actual customer or something within the business. And that is where I think we could start to make decisions that aren't really the best for the business, that aren't really the best for us, because, uh-oh, someone's like a little bit upset with me. And really, this is how it works. This is the process. This is what they bought from me. You know, this is what it how it should be. But if I need to prove, then you might start to get into some energy of convincing them, or some energy of shifting what you normally do, or your process, or your standards, because there's this person who maybe doesn't totally understand you. So that is then what we'll see, like really kind of take down the you can take down a business, or it could take down the process. So it's like we use that, it was fuel, and now at some point we want to stop and be like, okay, cool, I use that as fuel, but now how do I want this to look, and what would it look like if I wasn't needing to prove, like, do I even want the business set up this way, or is everything I'm doing basically to show somebody else that I could do it, right? Like, I know for me, it was like working a lot of hours. That was what I learned growing up. It's kind of like, you know, your time and your effort and how hard it was, like the grit, like that was how you were worthy. So then here I am with my own business where I can make my own hours, but I'm like, no, like I gotta be miserable, right? I gotta be working hard, because that's how it was. And I did work in a corporate job for 10 years. So it was like, you're there for a set number of hours. I was miserable a lot of the time, right? Like this is what it was like. So that rewiring that for like, no, actually, I started to finally make more money when I would rest in the middle of the day, or have a spa day, or, and this is so counterintuitive, in my brain from what I was programmed with growing up. So again, at some point, because you can work really hard and make a good amount of money, And what we find is that most people then have a health crash or some kind of or health or like mental emotional, right? They're just like at their limit. They're in that constant fight or flight because they've put everything into their business. And then the way it's running, it requires they do everything. It requires like, I have to be the best. I have to prove. So like, I got to answer that email immediately. Like, I can't leave someone hanging on Instagram over the weekend, right? And then their quality of life can be impacted. And my belief is like, you know, the universe will hand us over something like that. So I know I ended up in my health crash because I was burning the candle at both ends. And my body's like, nope, that's not how we're gonna operate. Not anymore.
Yeah, I can relate to that too, because that same exact situation happened to me. Same exact. When I was living in Chicago, I was running my skincare small business and I was co-owning three retail stores with a business partner. And we had started our coaching program at the same time. And we were hosting markets on weekends for other small businesses. So we were doing like, that's like four jobs, if not more, that we were doing at once, four different businesses. And that's exactly what happened to me. And when I look back, that's the lesson that I learned. It was okay, why am I burning myself to the ground? What am I trying to prove? Like, why am I doing this? Do I even enjoy it? Do I even want to do it? And once I went through, I had a major health crisis, like went to the emergency room twice in 1 week, thought my like
Wow.
gallbladder or liver or something was exploding, found out that it was endometriosis and an extreme flare-up, which can be caused from stress. I had no idea that I had endometriosis, but they did like scans and CAT scans and MRI scans and ultrasounds and blood work. And they're like, nothing's wrong with you. I'm like, I can't walk or talk because my side hurts. Like something's wrong. And then ended up finding out it was endometriosis. But the super interesting thing is when I look back, it's exactly what you said happened. It was me having a health crisis and then having that come to Jesus moment of, what am I doing all of this for? And when I had that moment, that's when I decided that over the next few months, I was going to close my skincare business. I was going to step away from the partnership that I had with that business partner and no longer run the stores or do the markets. And I was going to go into coaching, which ended up happening that I ended up doing coaching on my own. At that point, with my business partner, we were wondering if we would still do it together or not. But it's like, what was I trying to prove and who was I trying to prove? And sure, same thing, like you said, that person who made 10 million and wasn't fulfilled, that was probably when I was making the most amount of money, but I was burnt out, exhausted, going to the emergency room, and I wasn't fulfilled. Like nothing changed. I had probably the most amount of income I ever had because I was running four businesses at the same time, but felt probably the crappiest I have ever felt. And this is one thing I talk to my clients all the time. It's like when you do make the money, it's not going to make you happy. And that's like a big realization too. When you do reach that goal, and then you're like, oh shoot, I'm still the same person with the same attitude, with the same things that I'm complaining about, even though I'm now reaching this magical goal that I thought would just make me happy. So I love hearing your story, and that's just food for thought on my end too. Now I want to transition a little bit because we talked about the limiting belief of needing to prove, and I think we also touched on the limiting belief of I need to work a lot of hours in order to be successful, or I need to be miserable in order to be a good business owner. But I want to ask you, what are other limiting beliefs of business owners that you see come up really frequently?
Well, there's a lot of categories that they fall into. I mean, the needing to prove is one of the biggest. So it's interesting that you hit on that right from the beginning. We'll have things around worth and productivity. So the tie with like productivity and worth. Those categories will drive people to do things like drive them to really run their health into the ground. We also end up with a lot of people in the category of nothing works for me. And then also general money beliefs. So these are the things that we end up rewiring at our trainings. People will come in, it's like the nothing works for me, because sometimes maybe that started in like a health journey, nothing works for me. And now it's like, well, in business, nothing works for me. Like the funnel works for someone else, or, and then all the different money beliefs, things tied to money around just the fact, thinking that wanting money or making money makes you evil, right? Like the whole, all those old sayings of like, or money doesn't grow on trees, or like more money, more problems. Like these things that have just been repeated over and over, just gotten really deeply into our unconscious mind. And so I was having a client session with someone recently. And as we dug into, because it's never conscious, right, Monica? It's not like, not sometimes some people know, yeah, I have really crappy money beliefs, but more often than not, it's like they're saying, like, no, I'd like it. I'd like some. I'd like lots of money. And then the pattern is like, well, when they get to a certain number, that can be one, like all of a sudden there's a bunch of bills, or like they just can't go over a certain threshold. I had someone I was working with who realized that because of her belief of that everything's balanced in the universe, she unconsciously was like, well, I don't want to have this super successful business. If I make a ton of money, her belief was like, then something bad will have to happen, like in the rest of my life. Like then maybe someone, like a kid or a cat or someone will get sick, or like, right, like something was going to be taken if I do well. So there can be really deep ties like that. Like if I do really well, someone will take it from me, the other shoe will drop. And so then we essentially end up stopping ourselves, or we stop doing maybe the habits that were really helping us progress, unconsciously, just not really realizing that we shift. And it can even just be in our energy of like we are off-putting, or we are, you know, this is where the resistance come up of all of a sudden, like, oh, I kind of have a headache, or I don't really want to write that last line on the email, or oh, I just didn't send it, right? Like these weird things that I know I've done, a lot of us have done, of like, well, I know it would be good to do that or send that, and yet somehow it just doesn't make the list. It just doesn't, right? These little things of and visibility. Visibility is another really big one of putting yourself out there. But especially, you know, so you have people with products that's like and handmade, right? Majority. Like, so it's like you know, you can feel a little bit like, well, what if someone is rejecting this? Like, I made this with me and my love, and it feels very personal. It's whether you're coaching too, but like when it's your product like that. And it could be a little bit where unconscious, like we don't want that rejection. So just even offering it starts to, you know, the more you offer to a broader audience, the more potential there is in our mind for this rejection, this pushback. There's so many layers of the beliefs. And actually, I know we said in the beginning, well, we'd explain what NLP is. I feel like I can just kind of give a little synopsis of like why we're looking at beliefs. So NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. And when we think of neuro, we think of the mind and the brain. Linguistics, we think of language and programming. It's like we have been programmed, and these are where we get all our beliefs. Like these are essentially, as you know, 0 to 7 years old, the majority of when they start to come in, or we're forming a lot of them, whatever we're hearing in our environment, whatever the adults around us are saying, we are picking up on, like, okay, yep, okay. Miss Susie next door, she has a lot of money, and like, you know, nobody likes her, right? Okay, so money, not good. Nobody's gonna like you. Or, oh, everyone's talking about how she's greedy, right? You're just picking up, and these could just be conversations. These aren't even like someone's telling you directly, this is what you'll believe, kid. It's just we're picking up in the context of like, oh, okay, my body needs to be a certain way because that's acceptable, that's not, right? Whatever it is, so we're picking up on all these beliefs, and then they come out in our language. That's the linguistic part. So we can actually hear from the words people use exactly what their beliefs are. That's my favorite thing to do. Listen to people's language. And this is what we teach in our trainings of how do you uncover your beliefs through language and the people you work with? Because people will send you a question. They may email you saying, like, asking something that seems like it's a specific question about a product or about a service. And usually there's a question behind the question. Usually they're saying, like, well, yeah, but will I get value out of this, or will I be able to enjoy this? Or, right, there's something about them. So we're always encouraging people to understand language and the idea that there is usually a question behind a question. Or if it's presenting problems someone has, They say they want something, but really, there's usually a problem underneath that. So if you're like, everybody's asking for a certain product and then they don't seem to buy it, they may not have their value and their need matched up yet with that product. Because they think they want it, but then when it comes to actually buying it, right? So how are we listening to their language and hearing, like, what are their actual needs and values? And then how are we linking this up so that they, in their mind, can see, okay, this thing that I want is related to what you have, and now I will buy it. And then the cool thing about the fact that it's programming is that we can reprogram it. So we can rewire. So once those beliefs are in there, those beliefs are in there. Although the thing is we can figure out and decide which beliefs become like the superhighway. So anything that we've been acting out a lot and using a lot over and over, you know, becomes habitual, it becomes a habit, becomes a pattern, it's a strategy, then that's just a super highway, right? Those are the things that you just say, like, I am. Like, if you say, I am a runner, then you probably just go out and run. You don't really think about, like, do I wear sneakers today? Do I do this? It's like who you are. So those are the things that become so automatic that they are fully in the unconscious mind, and we can discover what they are and we can reprogram. So we can start to shift, like, the super highway for the things we don't want to start to go to the new belief, to the things that we do want. And just shifting that belief, that so it's awesome. And that's a process we do and a process we teach people how to do with others. Awesome. And then the real key, though, Monica, is that we need to lock this in real life. So we need to then go be the person who has the thing that we say we want, right? We have to start acting right now as if we already have everything we say we're going for, because we're just becoming the identity of, like, the runner or the successful business person before we necessarily even have it. And that's the part where we're bridging the gap of, like, where we are, where we want to go, but just getting up and just literally asking, well, what would the version of me be doing? So we have, you know, in our trainings right now, we have small trainings, and we're hoping someday that our trainings are, you know, our trainings are more like 15 to 20 people. And we're hoping to have 100 people in a room for our live trainings. And so every time something happens, we have to ask, like, okay, someone's requesting something unique, or they want something different, or someone's saying, can we turn the temperature up or down? Technically, small training, we could do that. But will we be able to do this in a room of 100 people? Like, will we really send them each a custom PDF that they're asking for right now? Or will they really, anything that we have around process and systems that we can do for a small amount but wouldn't do for a large amount. And then we say, no, we wouldn't. So let's act right now as if, you know, we're acting as if we have that. So it's a great process, too, for people who are, like, you know, working on, like, having more product or, right, going scaling of, like, well, what maybe right now I can customize every single thing, or I handwrite the note, or but will I do that when I have grown? If that's the goal, is to grow, will I be able to do that? And we can start to, like, be that identity now.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I'll give a good example too on that last statement that you said, because one of my members, she used to do pickup for her products. So someone could order online and then pick up on her front porch. And she was telling me how it was really challenging to coordinate, and people would text her being like, hey, is my order ready? And then they would be scheduled to pick it up. But then they would text her saying, oh, actually, I can't make it today. Can I come tomorrow? So then she would have to put it back in the house and put it out the next day. And that was a very conversation that we had. It's like, are you going to be able to do this when your business grows? And are you going to be able to want to do this? Do you want to keep coordinating? And would you be able to handle it if your orders get even bigger and bigger compared to where they are now? And that's something that she just recently stopped doing, because it's like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. That's not the version of the business that I want to create. So why are we doing those things now when we know it's not going to serve us later? An interesting thing that you mentioned is it sounds like this is the final step, because there's probably beliefs underneath the surface first that need to be addressed before you can make that change. So in this example, I think the belief was probably, if I no longer offer pickup, then people won't buy. If I no longer offer pickup, then I'm gonna lose sales. If I raise my prices for my products, I'm gonna lose sales. So talk me through, is that right? Undercovering the belief and then seeing the language tied to it. I think that maybe goes hand in hand. And then once you reprogram, like you mentioned, then you can kind of act as if and adjust those habits. Is that right?
Yeah, so the if you were to ask that person, right? So why don't you know, what's stopping you from only mailing them or whatever it is? Like
Shipping,
what's
yeah,
stopping, right,
mailing it, yeah.
shipping. Then you would start to hear in the language the beliefs of the things coming out. And often the things will come out in the language that we even hide from ourselves. Like this happens all the time with me. I'm like, man, I'm really good at this. I'm really good at finding people's beliefs and rewiring them. And I hide stuff from myself all the time. That is why I will always have an outside coach, because it's pulled out in the language and it's hidden from, we're protecting. There is a part protecting ourselves. So then you might hear something along the lines of like, well, a good business owner should offer something like that. Or right, you'll hear in the language something around the belief. Or like you said, well, I won't have as much sales if I don't offer this. Or people will think I'm X if I do this. There's going to be something there that can be really tied to. And that's usually when people will find, like you said, like the generational stuff. Like you'll find people, just it'll be tied to just something that maybe their grandparents used to offer this much, service, and like that hands-on touch was like the most important part of it. And it's not to say that if that is someone's value of like the hands-on part or the delivery, that could totally be a part of like the business model, right? That might be what they want to do and they could be unique because of it. If we're only doing it though because it's like, well, that's what we think people want, and it's really not working for us, we're like, this is exhausting, right? We start to see where are there things that, it's leaking our energy, right? Like you said, just as simple as like, well, now I got to go back outside and put it back inside. Like that's not a small thing. Or like, now I have to check my text, and what if I don't? And what if it's cold out and the stuff freezes? I don't know. But right, like there's a lot energetically to this, kind of customization that usually is tied to that peacekeeping, people pleasing thing. And that's the only reason we may be doing it. So when that's the reason, that's when we start to say, okay, what is the belief here? Just like you said, we discover the belief, we say, what do we want instead? So, like, what do we want the belief to be? Do we want the belief to be that, I will actually sell more when I'll have so much more time to like create product because I'm not doing this stuff? Or, yeah, it'll open up my creativity once I stop doing this stuff. Or, I connect people in this way. Like, I just, whatever that need and value is of the business or the person, you can meet it in a different way. And then we can start to live from that identity of, okay, the person was, so that's like one of the things for me to, where I'm always looking to expand me personally, like expand my capacity to help more people, which I know will expand my business, right? Because my personal capacity is going to expand it. So when I start to see, if I'm just like, huh, not as many people joined our training as I thought this time, I will just say, okay, how can I actively go out and expand this capacity? So for me, having really honest conversations, like searching them out, not just having, but going say, oh yeah, that person in my life, that would be that person I haven't been super honest with, or that person's like a harder, maybe it's someone in your family or something where you're like, I will have to make an effort to really go and have this conversation. So I've been doing that lately, searching out situations where I know it's going to expand my discomfort, my ability to sit with discomfort, which I believe then does expand my ability to hold a larger container, help more people. Because really the expansion does get stopped of like, it's like if you can't handle what you already have, you're not going to get more of it. So if you're really struggling to place, have all the orders go out on time, or you're really struggling to manage the requests that are coming in or the customer service, then at some point it's probably not, it's just not going to expand. It's like this just energetically what happens for so many of us. So we are like, okay, how do I become the person that, or the system? Like, I'm the person, or I have the system where like, this is not a problem anymore. So, yep, I can triple this. I can 10x this, and I will totally be able to handle it. So you can go put yourself in a situation to expand that before otherwise life will life and you will get put into those situations for expansion, because I believe we're here to expand and grow, but you can choose them too.
I think that's such a good way to look at it. Because as you're talking, I'm thinking through, like, okay, what are the conversations that I'm having with my members that align with what you're saying? And that's exactly it. I think most people, similar to what we talked about at the beginning, we look to expand when we hit a wall, when it's like we're literally a balloon that's about to burst, and then we hit this massive wall, whatever it may be, and then we go back and we're like, okay, we can't expand any further. What's got to change? But I like your approach of let's be proactive with it. Okay, if I want to continue to expand in a healthy way, in a positive way, in a proactive way, how do I find the capacity to expand now? And what creative solutions come up? It's if it's as simple as no longer dropping off products to local customers, no longer offering pickup on your doorstep, if it's as simple as having someone do post office runs for you, thinking of the product business owners, and this is where a lot of time goes, or even having someone come help make your products, if it's not fully just components of it, so then you can expand your capacity. And then when you expand your capacity, one thing that you mentioned is like, okay, then you have more time to like be creative. You have more time to actually figure out how can I grow my business further, because I'm not here focusing on all these minute things that have to get done, but are taking my capacity and are not growing the business. So I think you just said it in such a beautiful way that I think is going to resonate with a lot of people. And I want to touch on one more component there, because you told us what NLP is and how it's like the language that we use. So tell me a little bit more about why this is so important. Like, why is language so important for success? Because that's something I tell my members all the time. I mean, there's the sayings like your thoughts create your reality, and people know that. But can you dive a little bit deeper into why it's important? Why is language so important?
Yeah, so it is cool because when we start to get into thoughts creating re your reality, I think one of the obvious things that everyone can relate to is if I were to say right now, as you're listening, if you were to just imagine, Monica, that I have this super juicy lemon right here in front of me, and I'm gonna cut right into it, and like the juice is just squeezing everywhere. And then I want you to imagine that you lick that lemon, right? So for most people, even me just telling the story, you start to salivate, right? Like you can already taste it. And so I think that's such a good reminder that our thoughts, and my business partner, she's an MD, she's like, there is no thought that is free. So even that thought where we're looking in the mirror and we're only saying it to ourselves, like, ugh, you don't look good again. Every single thought, there is a chemical messenger that is released. So the salivating is so obvious because there was an image in your mind, there was something you were visualizing, and it created a physical response, saliva. Same thing where if you think about going to give that speech or make that pitch that's a little bit scary, many of us can feel our heart will start to race. Maybe you have to run to the bathroom. Like physical things are happening because of a thought in our head. So I think that helps like make it a little more concrete for anyone's like, I don't get this whole the thoughts create the things. So in NLP, the idea is that success leaves clues. So this can be success of other people, but this can also be where we were successful in maybe a different context, a different area of life. So we can elicit like, what was I thinking? What was I saying to myself? Who was I being? What was I hearing? What was I feeling? You know, what was going on? What were my strategies? What were my habits? And we can elicit all of this with language, right? Because you'll start to hear the way that certain people, if they're successful, you'll start to hear that they talk a similar way. You'll start to hear that they're not over there saying like, oh yeah, I'm just not that great, right? Their language is different. And then we can start to realize, like, okay, well, if people in my life that have something that I want and they are saying these things, they are acting in this way, we can elicit that and apply them in different areas of our life. That was the idea behind NLP, was really just studying human behavior, and really studying some amazing family therapists, Virginia Satir and Milton Erickson, studying people who were really, really fabulous at eliciting change in others with language. The thing is that some of them were actually helping people, like, chunk up, go to a broader view, a bigger picture. And sometimes they were helping people get really specific. So the two opposites were actually helping people get change. And it was like, wait, how can going broad help and then going specific also help? And started to find that these patterns were helping. Sometimes people need to get a little bit out of the details. Like, some people are really in the weeds, so they can only see the problem right in front of them. And they need to go a little bit higher. They need to, like, why am I, like you said, why am I even doing this business? Right? Like, go a little bit bigger. And some people are up in their they're up in the nothing works for me, everything sucks. They're up in this really broad whatever. And if you say nothing works for me, like, how would you help me with that problem? You're like, what? You can't really. Like, okay, there's nothing to work with. So that's when bringing them specific, like, what specifically isn't working for you? Like, oh, well, my business. Okay, what specifically in your business is not working for you? Like, oh, well, this actually goes well and this goes well, but it's customer service. Okay, what specifically about customer service? Oh, well, I guess it's when the emails come in. Okay, what can't they handle about the emails, right? You're going down and down and down till you find the actual problem. And when you find the actual problem, it's usually like there's a pretty simple solution. Oh, not always simple. There's a solution usually. There's a strategy, there's a process. But when you're up in the nothing works for me, it's easy to just stay there. And it is a way, and it is a way of avoiding. It is a way that the brain will avoid. Because what you said earlier is, like, we can stay really busy and with handmade product that's actually making product, probably, right? And in a coaching business, it's maybe like tweaking your designs and your website. We can stay busy, and it is a solid form of protection, because our brain knows if you keep doing this thing, you don't have to put yourself out there, right? You're not going to do that scary step, because usually it's like the actual thing that would move the needle of maybe filling out that application to be at the trade show, or, right, like, pitching to this influencer, right? The thing that would move the needle takes 5 minutes a lot of the time, but it takes a lot of courage. It's like, who am I to ask that? What, you know, the process behind it is, like, there's more of you. It takes more of you. Not often time. So the busyness of, like, staying in the business of, like, I make product, I do hard things, I drive, I wait for people, I text it, right? That can be a way of really, really protecting ourselves.
I love
I
that.
had this firsthand when my husband retired, because I said, oh, like, well, when I have more time, because I have two kids and, you know, I had a business and I drove them to school, right? And I said, well, when I have more time, I had all these things I was going to do. And then my husband retired from the military 3 years ago, and he drives the children. He does the grocery shopping. He cooks the meals. He does everything I used to do. Hey, Monica, all I have to do now is show up and do my work. And guess who still wasn't doing those tasks?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it was such an eye-opener, because I had even convinced myself that I would do them when there was time. I had actually convinced myself. And then there was all this time, and I was like, oh, that wasn't, they're just scary. It's not time. They're just scarier. And now I have the time, and it's looking right back at me.
So what do you do in that exact situation where, like you said, I love how you said reaching out to an influencer or reaching out to a store, it takes 5 minutes, but it requires more courage. So when someone is in that, how do you walk them through?
So I suggest, and that's why, hopefully everybody's working with Monica, because staying in a space where someone is coaching you and someone is keeping you in that, like helping you see the bigger vision, helping you think of those things. So staying in a space where you are getting that reminder, like I'm always at a live event for me personally, because I want that. I want the reminder that there's something else there. So that's one, is like setting yourself up. We know the human brain's going to protect us. So, like, set yourself up. Like, make sure you're doing something quarterly that helps you grow. Make sure you're in a space where people are thinking like a few steps ahead of you. So, set yourself up. The other thing, though, is figuring out when in your day do you have the most courage?
I
So,
like
for
that.
me, it's in the morning. My courage dwindles with the day. Some people are night owls, and they get, so this isn't, this is, everybody has to figure it out. So what I do is I have figured out for me, speaking on podcasts, speaking in people's masterminds, speaking on live stages, that is the biggest needle mover for my business. So that's also something that takes courage, because have to build the relationships, ask the people. They're not just coming to knock on your door necessarily, right? So I know that is a process. So I started using 10 minutes in the beginning of the day. That is where, and I'll have my list of like, these are the, so at some point you need to do a little research of who could I even offer this to. And I will basically do 10 minutes of hard things in the morning, because I know for me, that's when I have the motivation. That's when I have it. I also know I get that high from live events. So when I go to a live event, I will schedule a day right after, or I just make sure I work with the times when I know I'm going to be all in, like create more space around that. Like if you're excited, if you know, like after you listen to a podcast in the morning that you're going to have this half hour where you're really excited, like make sure you create that space and you're not just going right into like the monotonous jobs. Like how do you carve out something for you in a time that you're most productive? So that's kind of how I look at it.
I love it. I think that's such a good tactical tip. Like, find out when you're most courageous and do 10 minutes of hard work. And I think if
Yeah,
someone
because
does
it's
that
usually
every
just
single
10 minutes.
day,
Yeah.
yeah. I love it. Such a great tip. Okay. So good. So good. I have so many notes. I'm like, this is just great. I'm actually excited to write the show notes. When you have a podcast, you got to write the show notes afterwards for if you're listening and you don't have a podcast. And for me, that's the most grueling part. But I have so many good notes. I'm like, I'm so excited to write these show notes
Ooh,
because there's so many good takeaways.
that's
So I
awesome.
know the person listening is going to absolutely love this. Before we wrap up, just please let us know where people can continue to learn from you, follow you, and know more about what you do.
So come on over to our Instagram, is at Becoming Zesty. And then our pot, we have a podcast as well. So also Becoming Zesty. And I didn't ask you this beforehand, Monica, so you can cut it out if you don't want it. But we do, anytime I go on a podcast, if the host wants, I'll offer a free ticket to our event. We do 2-day live events. Our next one's not until August. But we do a 2-day live event where we go into NLP, but the idea around habits and habit change. So it's 2 amazing days. And usually what we say is have people leave a review on your podcast, and then you can pick someone within, if as long as they leave a review within a week of the podcast going live.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Do you know where
Awesome.
it will be in August?
That one will be in Dallas,
Cool.
Texas. And
Okay.
it's the week, or we're finalizing the dates like any day now. We'll probably know before this even goes live, but it's the week of August 19th. It's going to be 2 days in there. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, so you heard it directly from Megan. If you leave a review about the podcast, this episode in particular, then we will choose one random
Yes,
winner.
it's a good point. So if they want to put like hashtag zesty at the end,
Ooh.
then we'll know which ones to choose
I
from.
like it. Look at this giveaway. Turning into something awesome. Okay, leave a review. Hashtag Zesty at the end. We'll choose one winner who will get a free ticket to Megan's 2-day in-person event in Dallas in August. So, I mean, that's incredible. Love it. And make sure to follow Megan on Instagram on her podcast. She is a wealth of knowledge, as I know you can tell from listening to this episode. So, Megan, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you so much. And thank you so much for listening to the Product Based Podcast.
Thank you, Monica.